Why podcasting? Why has it recently grown a little faster? What type of audiences are you going to reach in podcasting? Podcast advertising terms you need to know. Well, welcome to the Spreaker Live Show. This is episode 144 for January 24th, 2018. Thank you so much for joining us and listening today. My name is Rob Greenlee, and I'm the head of partnerships at Spreaker Blog Talk Radio. There's something big coming to Spreaker and Blog Talk Radio here very soon, so we will keep you informed on that. But thank you so much for downloading us or just clicking play. I'm joined again by Mr. Jay Soderberg, who's also known as Pod Vader. He's the head of content at Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. We're cohorts in crime and podcasting, and he's also the host of the Next Fan Up podcast. It's an NFL news and reaction show. Jay, are you there?
I'm here. I can't believe I'm back yet again, and back-to-back weeks. This is unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Now, I just want to make it clear. I have not used my force powers on Alex. That is not a true rumor.
The Sith Lord has squeezed his neck so he can't talk anymore. No. He's actually been out with a family thing that he needed to attend to, and he'll be back with us next week. So we'll have him back on. But Jay has been a good sport coming in here and doing the show with me, and I think the Spreaker Live Show audience likes you, Jay.
Really? They like me? They really like me?
Yes, they do like you. Yes.
Wow. I like them too.
It's something about your magic personality, I think. That must be what it is.
I did go to magician school, yes. Learned a few card tricks, but ultimately failed out. So.
Oh, okay. Oh, well.
Yeah, clearly I didn't go to comedian school because that was a horrible joke. That was one of the worst I think I've ever tried to make.
I actually was scolded by one of our listeners that I should shy away from being the comedian on the show. I'm a little bit too dry. So they said to let Jay kind of explore his comedian talents.
I would say you do make a better straight man.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll just maintain that straight man status that I have. So it's good. So we stream this show live every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern from SpreakerLiveShow.com. So you can get us right there anytime. We also have some apps on iOS and Android that you can get the Spreaker Live Show with. That's handy there, and that actually will play the live show as well. So you can just pop that open every Wednesday and check us out no matter where you are. Maybe you're standing in line at Starbucks or something like that, and you can listen to us right there, right?
I would like a venti, half mocha, half cappuccino.
Yes.
I don't even think exactly. I ordered it correctly. But
yes. Yeah, well, we can also be heard in the Amazon Echo smart speakers. I won't say her name because that may actually turn off some people that are listening to this show and disrupt it. So I don't want to do that. So we're also
just call her Lexi, Rob. She likes to be called by her nickname, Lexi.
Lexi is that's probably a good one to use. Yeah. Someday she'll get wise to that, though. I've been called on the carpet by her before, so I have to be careful what I say. So
only I think if I program her will she respond to Lexi, or unless somebody else programs her to, and then we'll have problems.
Yes, exactly. But I wanted to mention too that Spreaker does have a blog, and I know Blog Talk Radio has one too, so maybe we should mention that too. There's blog.spreaker.com. There is a article that was posted up there by the Spreaker team talking about PodFest Multimedia Expo 2018 coming up February 8th through the 10th. We're all going to be there. You have to be there too.
I do.
Yeah, Jay. No, I'm speaking to all those people out there that are listening to this.
Oh, okay.
Break away. Yes. Go on vacation. Head to Orlando. Check it out. The whole
Spreaker team. It's a nice time to be in Orlando, that's for sure.
Yeah, the whole Spreaker and Block Talk Radio team is going to be there. So you'll be able to meet all of us, believe it or not.
I don't know if that's a selling point.
I think it would be. I think it would be. Some people would like to meet all of us.
Perhaps.
Yeah, I think that there's like 26 of us now, right? Something like that?
There's a lot of us. I think you're about right. Maybe 27? Do we hit 30?
I don't know. Could be. I haven't counted lately, but maybe we have hit 30.
I don't have more than 20 fingers and toes, so it's tough for me to go higher than that number.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true. The reason I want you to go check out this article at blog.spreaker.com is because it kind of runs down some of the key topics and some of the tracks that are going on at that event. It's probably, I would say that the PodFest is probably the second most popular podcast conference in the country or in the world, right?
I would say that. I don't know which other ones there are. if there are other ones, please reach out.
Podcast movement, and then a bunch of regional events all around the country as well. So, you know, I would say from an attendance perspective, I would say PodCon was probably right up there. I would say it's bigger than PodFest on a podcast, attendance scale. So I think that event was well over 1,000 people. So
now I do know of a radio or broadcasting event in Europe, but that encompasses more than just podcasting. And I do believe that there is a podcasting conference in Australia on a yearly basis.
Oz, I think is what it's called. Something like
that. Is that what it is? Well,
I believe so.
Unless Francesco plans on sending us to Australia, which I wouldn't be going to anyway.
I don't know
anything about the Australia podcasting landscape.
I'd go down there. So,
well, there you go. Well, you're on the West Coast too, so it's a slightly shorter flight than it would be
slightly
for me.
It's only like 17 hours or something crazy like that. And then I think what you're thinking of is Radio Days, I think, in Europe, I think is what it is.
I think that's true. I think you got me.
So it's not even called podcasting. So it's really, Europe is still kind of in the radio kind of mindset still. So, but it's slowly changing. There are a few years.
Eventually podcasting will just be called radio, Rob.
That was a topic that came up this past week. Yes. By the way. Yeah. So yeah, it's not probably going to become called radio. No.
Good.
I don't think that the next generation would actually let that happen. I think it would be a shame would fall down on the next generation if they let that happen. Utter shame.
Right.
So anyway, go check out that article. See what's going on down there. And if you can make it, come on down. You know, Disney World's down there. You know, and especially if you live up in the Northeast, I think it's about time to get out of there.
Well, it's been abnormally warm here in the New England region. Yes, it's we've actually experienced quite a lot of rain here the last couple of days. I thought I was in Seattle. I thought I was in your neck of the woods for a moment.
That's just normal for us here.
Right, exactly. It's a Tuesday.
That's right. Yeah.
The weather was about somewhere in the upper 40s in rain, which is a Tuesday in Seattle.
Okay, this is the Spreaker Live weather
forecast. Well, to go further
podcast.
Down there, yeah, I looked at the extended forecast, and it does look like there might be some ice storms here in the Northeast while I'll be in Florida. So that'll be yes.
Okay. We've kind of delayed getting into our topic of the show this week quite a bit.
People don't listen to the show to listen to podcasting stuff, Rob. Come on.
That's true. And we proved that case today, didn't we? Yes.
Yes. We'll see how much the completion percentage is on this show.
Yeah, exactly. It's gonna drop like a rock right now. So no. Hopefully this is where the value is, Jay. Come on. We have to play that up. Make sure that people realize that when we start talking about podcasting instead of weather in the Northeast, that's when the value comes. So,
got it.
Yeah, got it. All right. There was a little bit of a study that came out. I guess it was a study. I'm not really sure. It's basically a digital audio buying guide that came out. The title of it is Harness the Power of Digital Audio, Your Guide to Buying a Podcast. So to kind of set that up, there's some categories that they talk about in this document. It's linked to, I gave a link to it in the show notes here. So if you want to go check out this document, I've gone through it a little bit and I've kind of edited some things. I don't necessarily agree with everything it says. So why podcast, Jay? I mean, I've been doing it for as long as I can remember. But why podcasts, and has it been growing a little faster lately?
Well, I guess I would turn that around on you because, you know, as I get ready for the Edison research, you know, the Infinite Dial, study that will be released on March 8th, I very much look forward to seeing what the growth rate was in the last year for podcasting as we've seen it in previous years. And I will look at the Infinite Dial as my source, or at least I'll state it as my source. We have seen growth, but I don't know if we've seen exponential growth. We haven't seen that quote unquote hockey stick that the folks in Silicon Valley like to talk about.
Well, don't feel too disappointed on that, Jay, because we've never had a hockey stick growth in this medium. Mm. So it's been a fallacy if somebody said that we have. So.
But it's been slow and steady, and I do expect to see, you know, more growth this year, and I'm excited to see how much it's going to be. You know, based on, you know, the way that the study has shown the performance of podcasting overall in the past years, I would expect to see at least a 10% increase in terms of podcast listening and awareness, if not more than that. So we do live in an interesting time for podcasters because we're sort of right on the cusp of getting to that 50% mark, Rob, which is a huge mark. If 50% of people are listening to podcasts, then we've increased our total audience by quite a bit from the previous years.
Yes, huge, huge. It's definitely grown. But if you look back over the last 14 years, this medium has been nothing but steady eddy. You know, it's been steadily growing every year, about 2 to 3% or something like that. I think 2016 it grew 4% of audience and awareness, but I would say that the publicity and the media coverage has been really the biggest growth over the last couple of years. I would say ever since Serial. We've had a lot more kind of media focus on the podcasting medium that's been kind of propelling it forward. And then that drove in some better content. I think storytelling podcast was kind of a big inflection point in the growth of this medium. If you go back and look at it kind of from a cultural perspective, storytelling is kind of at the core of all content creation. And so we've really kind of drilled back into what most people in the world, most human beings get excited about, and that's listening to stories. You know, it goes back to the very early days.
Well, and I think that the adoption of podcasting, especially from the comedians and the nationally known comedians that embraced podcasting early on, certainly has helped give it a little bit more awareness in Hollywood. And as podcasting becomes a term and a phrase that you will hear in different shows, I know it was 2 weeks ago on the popular program on NBC called This Is Us, which I watch with my wife. I heard a joke once say that the show should be called This Is Sad. But they referenced podcasting in that particular program. And that is one of the top dramas on television right now. So if somebody doesn't know what a podcast is, hopefully they would then go Google it or maybe ask Lexi during the commercial break. What's a podcast?
Yes. And then from what I heard just here this last week too, that there is a whole TV show that's coming out. I can't remember what network it's on.
It's also on NBC.
Yeah, that's going to be about a podcaster.
Yes.
The whole show is going to be about the journey the emotional and family-filled journey of a podcaster.
I wonder how close to real life the show will actually be. My guess is probably not as close as the actual story is. But
well, it can't really be exact, because if it was, the TV show would be kind of boring. So most podcasters' lives are actually pretty boring. So I think they have to really kind of, you know, spruce it up a little bit, you know, with some other drama in their lives. I think that's what has to happen, you know. That's kind of what Mr. Maron,
yeah,
Maron's Mark TV Maron. Show, mm-hmm. He actually had to add a little bit of, you know, sexual tension and drama, you know, between guests on his show, and he had to have family drama and things like that. So I think that's kind of the formula, right? So,
but his show was on, yeah. But his show was on IFC, a very low-rated cable network. So does it really exist? I don't know if that counts.
in Mark's mind, I think it was important.
I'm pretty sure it was, because yes. I'm also pretty sure Mark was paid to create said show and act in said show. So
that's very true. Podcasting is being forecasted to have about – what, about $500 million in ad sales by 2020?
So, I don't think we're anywhere near that point quite yet, are we, Rob?
Or
we're like at half that point right now?
The actual document that I have here says that ad sales are expected to hit $534 million in 2202.
Oh, wow. Okay. That would go along the lines of that slow growth.
Yes,
certainly
exactly.
Not a hockey
slow and steady, right? Yeah. No, it's 2020. So we got a couple more years before we get $500 million in advertising in the podcast medium. So that's exciting. I'll take $500 million.
I will take $500 million too. I'll also believe it when I see it.
I know, exactly. That's a lot of ad inventory at $25 a thousand, right?
Yes. Yes. I mean, listen, if I start getting live, if we start hearing live reads on the Spreaker live show, then we know that we're getting closer to that $500 million.
or we're, it's either that or we've jumped the shark. I'm not quite sure. So it's going to happen. I know that the mid-roll podcast, the Wolf Den, which is similar to this show, they have advertising. Of course, that is an advertising company. So I guess there's probably no reason why we couldn't have a campaign on this show. And I could actually do a host read.
Listen, you should be all in on that, Rob. You should be jumping on the sales team and talking and banging on their door. Hey, all this money we're spreading around, give me some love.
That's right. That's right. You can give me $5 every week.
Right. Exactly.
Anyway, and about 93% of brands have increased their podcast advertising spending here over the last year. That just means
they put one more dollar into
it. Yeah, exactly. They've added just $10 to the pool, right? So one less or two less Starbucks coffees. And that'll be.
How's that Fenty coming along?
Yeah, exactly.
Has it come out yet? I don't think so.
It's getting there. So there's also been a huge investment by kind of venture companies, venture capital folks into content, which was really surprising to me. I thought, two or three years ago, most of the investment that was coming into podcasting medium was focused on technology. But now technology really isn't that hot of a thing anymore. It's really, I think we've kind of somewhat plateaued on the need for technology in this medium. I don't know what you think on that, Jay, but it seems like investing in content is what's really going to propel it forward at this point.
I am of two minds on that. There's obviously always room for improvement, but if I knew exactly what technology we could create to help improve the podcasting landscape, I would probably be a much wealthier man at this particular point in time. And investing in content, I see that too, My concern is, unless we hit that that $500 million mark in advertising, how are those investors going to recoup their investments? That's the thing that I'm most concerned about. And when they don't recoup their investments, how quickly that money will dry up for the future. That is what has me concerned with that type of investment.
I think it's a reasonable concern, but I think what they're seeing is the transfer of radio ad budgets into the podcasting space, and it's starting to happen more and more. And if that does happen, we easily hit that $500 million mark. So, but for some reason, it's not happening that fast. I mean, I think we're currently at about maybe $250 million, I think, in ad sales this past year.
Right.
So I think we're only about halfway to our $500 million mark. So we've got still some room to grow. So it's not that big quite yet, but it's enough to keep some shows well funded and production teams paid for, you know, so especially the larger shows out there. And there's also been an increasing number of festivals and live events around podcasting that are popping up. These are like fan festivals like the LA Podfest and even to some degree, you know, PodCon up in Seattle is an example of a fan fest. And the kind of live events that I'm talking about, not so much live streaming events, but live on stage performances of podcasts. So that's been happening and building for actually quite a few years now. I don't think it's a new phenomenon. I don't think really any of this stuff is a new phenomenon. I mean, like the TV adaptations and the spinoffs and things like that from podcasts. That stuff's been going on for 4 or 5 years now.
It's not new, but it's just sort of, like I mentioned, Mark Maron's show was on IFC.
Yeah.
Alex Inc., which is the show that you are referencing, is going to be on NBC, which is a much more visible television network that will most likely see a much larger audience than what Mark's show got on IFC. And if Mark's show outperforms Alex Inc., he'll just have another thing to crow about.
Yeah. it's true. And then, you know, you could make a case that those big networks like NBC are getting chipped away by the cable channels these days. I mean, even Netflix and HBO and Showtime and those guys are picking up audience pretty fast.
They are, but the big three and really the big four, when you include Fox, I mean, those guys are still the kings of the mountain. And when your show is on one of those channels, you're seeing a much larger audience than you're seeing elsewhere for the most part, with exceptions to Game of Thrones and The Walking Dead and shows like that.
But I would say that the digital distribution side is definitely grown in importance for the networks too. So they've been playing that same game, but they don't have to. Or they're more limited in the content they can put out there. It has to be under FCC scrutiny, where the HBO folks, the Showtime and Netflix folks can, and even some degree Amazon, I think, is getting into more and more content, have to live by less regulations on content, which I think opens up the door for them to explore other topic areas that the big broadcast networks can't explore. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. So what type of audiences, Jay, do you think podcasting reach?
Well, again, citing the Infinite Dial study, yes. We're reaching pretty much everyone. The thing is a podcast, that audience is often targeted to a particular niche. While it does reach everyone, one podcast doesn't necessarily reach everyone. It reaches one targeted aspect of the population.
Yeah, I agree. The Infinite Dial has definitely shown us that the podcast listening community is pretty diverse. Lots of women, lots of ethnic groups are getting engaged in this content from all around the world, frankly. Women are definitely on the uptake on the content production side as well as the listening side. I would say, and I'll make a prediction here, that I think women will be the dominant content creators in this medium within a couple more years. And the listening side will be, will reflect the balance in the population. It's getting closer and closer all the time, but I just, what I've just seen is women are just exploding in this medium, and becoming more and more important because you know what they do very well? They're great communicators, Jay.
That is true. Yeah. That is very true. They can communicate direct and to the point.
Yes. Instead of meandering like we do.
Right.
We can't stay Instead focused.
Of dodging the topic. Right.
That's right. That's right. Where are we, Jay?
Aren't we still waiting for that venti from Starbucks?
Yes, what? Yes. God, they're slow.
Seriously.
I would say that from an advertising perspective, about 83% of somebody agrees that a host has to be authentic and natural when they're delivering their ads. 83% of somebody agrees that you have to be authentic and natural when they deliver ads.
Yeah. See, I go for the robotic and insincere delivery of any of the ads that I have. Well, I'm trying to reach that other, 17%? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And 78% don't mind that the ads exist because they know the sponsors support the podcast. So,
see, that number I feel is over. I don't think that number is necessarily true. I don't know how many people actually put that equation together, that the that 2 + 2 = 4.
Well, there's a commonality of fandom, right, between the advertiser and the listener, right? If the advertiser likes the show enough to advertise on it,
that's true.
Common like there, right?
I would definitely hope that number is true, just from my own experience in talking with other podcasters and talking with podcast listeners. I don't necessarily think that number is true. My experience has not reflected that number. My number would be much smaller than that. Now, I would like the number to be higher, even if that is the true number, 78%. I would love the number to be, closer to 100%.
Yeah,
because it would be nice for the audience to sort of understand that by purchasing the products that are being talked about in this advertisement on my favorite show, my favorite show is going to continue to make great content because they're going to continue to get advertising dollars because I went and purchased the product that they talked about.
There you go. Hey, I don't have to say anything more. You said it all. Over half of podcast ads tested, I don't know how you test a podcast ad, but they tested a podcast ad and it outperformed video. Did you know that?
Well, I believe it outperformed video pre-roll. And if pre-roll. we're talking about YouTube, it's pretty obvious how they could outperform those videos. I mean, the experience on YouTube with ads is not exactly a pleasant one. And honestly, they give you the ability to skip the ad, plenty of time. I get that little button that says skip ad in 4 seconds. 3, 2, 1, right. Boom. And I hit the skip button. And I know I'm not the only one.
Trained well. Yes.
I guarantee that there's more than 43% of me doing that exact same thing on YouTube.
Yes. Well, so over half of the ads outperformed video pre-rolls in driving purchase intent. So it doesn't say that driving purchase. It drives purchase intent. Which means that they might purchase. What that means?
Hey,
Yeah.
I mean, we can all agree on this, that a host has, you know, magical powers over their audience. And the audience takes what the host says at face value, because the audience has learned over the years that the host is not going to lie to them unless it's a show that's specifically about lying, and then they should be cautious of what the host says. But in most cases, they know that the host is sincere and is trying to help support his program with this particular advertisement. So anything that is said by the host is more valuable. That is undeniable. Anybody that wants to deny that can come talk to me, and I will tell you that you're wrong. So
you'll be gracious about it when you do it, but
maybe
you're wrong.
I don't know. We'll say I am an insincere robotic delivery kind of guy, but so to me, if you're talking about host read ads versus pre-produced video ads on YouTube that you can skip in 5 seconds, then of course you're going to drive more purchase intent, because the audience is actually listening to that ad and they're not skipping it in 5 seconds.
That's true. It's not as easy to skip it either, right?
Right.
Makes a difference, because TV is now, if you listen to online TV or watch online TV, more and more you can't skip the ads. So
trust me, it drives me crazy when I forget to DVR a show where I can fast forward through the ads, and then I have to watch it on demand. And it's like, oh man, I only had 45 minutes planned to watch this, not the full hour.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, and then did you know that 55% pay more attention to ads on podcasts versus ads on any other medium?
Well, once again, I think we've established the skipping the ad in 5 seconds. And with television, and especially mm-hmm. as a sports guy, commercials are for bathroom breaks.
That's true.
That's what they were invented for.
Or beer breaks.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. Or or a little cocktail smokies breaks.
Right. Exactly. Yes. See? You're on board with this.
That's right. Two-thirds of listeners 18 to 49 have acted on ads they heard in a podcast, either by researching a product or service or actually buying it. Did you know that?
I'll buy that for a dollar.
Okay. You didn't want to spend too much, huh? And then 74% of our pod listeners out there are likely to purchase a product from their favorite host. 74%. Are likely to purchase a product from their favorite hosts.
See, this is why I fail, Rob, because I'm not clearly a favorite host.
Yeah, what is a favorite host? One that you dislike favorably, or one that you like a little bit, or one that you really like a lot?
So there's, yeah, it's a good.
There's a good gradients question. Here. There's gradients here because maybe only half of them would be likely to purchase if you only kind of a little bit like the host. Who's listening, Jay? 4 out of 10 are 18 to 34.
Wow.
So millennials rule, huh?
Well, they're slowly taking over the world. That's what I've come to accept as a Gen Xer. It's.
I got the memo on that one, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those darn millennials.
Those darn millennials.
Darn millennials.
Whom I'm sure are no longer in line at Starbucks. I'm still waiting for that venti.
Not now. They don't have the patience to wait this long.
No.
No. Not at all. Yeah, exactly. They'd be pounding on the counter. Where's my latte? No, just kidding. Let's see. The millennials are also technologically active. About, 81% of podcast subscribers listen on a mobile device, 48% follow brands on social media.
I find that number odd.
Brands on social media. I don't follow brands on social media.
I do find that number a little odd. 48% follow a brand. I don't know. I will tag a brand, and if I see a friend of mine, retweet
a brand. These days, really? I mean, what's a brand these days?
So I will.
I'm a brand.
I'll use an example. On on one of our NFL podcasts where we get off on a tangent, much like we've done a couple of times today, Rob, yes. We got to talking about Hostess snack cakes because one of our co-hosts is located over in Scotland and had never tried a Hostess cupcake. And we were talking to him about all the different varieties of Hostess cupcakes that you could get. And in this conversation, Hostess actually tweeted back at us. Wow. and we had conversations back and forth with whomever was in charge of the social media account at Hostess. Wow. But I didn't follow Hostess. I just had a conversation with them. I didn't then click the follow button.
That's true. But you were adequately impressed that they were paying attention to what you were saying, though, right?
Well, I was. It didn't ultimately lead to a sponsorship, unfortunately. And, of course, I've now mentioned them again for free on your podcast. But
did you go out and buy a Hostess snack cake after that?
Did I? No. Yeah. I'm on a diet. I can't afford to put that 5 pounds on these hips.
Oh, okay. All right. and those millennials are bringing in some disposable income, too. Did you know that?
Yeah, I don't buy this for a dollar at all. There's no way the millennials are making this much money. I think they're lying on their survey. 75%
are making 75K or more. 30 sure. are making 100K or more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
That's not that much money anymore.
Well, that's also true.
And then podcast fans are considered to be an ambitious bunch. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Nearly 60% of them are college or grad level educated. 60%. And then 75% of them are actually working.
So you're telling me that 75% of 75% are making $75,000 or more. To me, that's
now that's podcast fans. That's not the population out there. We have to keep this this distinction in place here. That the podcast fans are an exclusive club. So if you're listening to this, you're part of an exclusive club. That typically make more money, are more educated.
I don't know if we've discussed
this. Are employed.
Yeah. Right. See, I don't know if we've discussed this on in a public area, but I know we've had this conversation before. And I oftentimes wonder how much of these types of surveys are skewed by the NPR shows, which are admittedly some of the larger listened to podcasts. And that audience is very well educated and very well employed.
Mm-hmm. Overly employed, I would say.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. So that's sort of when I read these stats, I always look at them with that sort of grain of salt in mind. Because I do wonder how much these stats get skewed by that particular audience.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's true. And speaking of work, you know, these folks work quite a bit. Podcast listening peaks during the work week and basically prevails during work hours, actually over music, actually. People listen to this stuff over music, which is a little hard to believe because those people must not be very productive then if they're listening all the time to us and not getting their jobs done. But I did see actually in the early days when I started doing my show, actually it was a lot of streaming back in the early days. I had a lot of listening that was happening in the home. And here more recently, over the last, I don't know, 10 years or so, that's been shifted back to people listening at work more. So it's an interesting phenomenon. I would have thought that people would have listened to podcasts more at work, but I think it's more of a cultural shift that's happened here over the years. I think it's more accepted to listen to audio while you're at work than it was 10 years ago.
Well, all these millennials apparently are employed and are making lots of money, so they don't have anywhere else
really
to listen to these things.
Right.
They don't have anywhere else to listen to these things.
That's true.
I know when I'm listening to podcasts, the bulk of my listening is done traveling. I no longer have to commute to work, which is kind of nice. But when I do commute to work, it's a long commute and I'm listening to podcasts or working out or doing the household chores. That's when I'm listening to podcasts. And I'm pretty sure that if that stat was somewhere on this particular document, I would be in the majority of people there.
This last little comment that is in here as part of this, I don't know if it's a study or just interpretation of research that's out there, but podcasts can reach pretty niche, narrow audiences, from, vegan urban moms to farmers in the Midwest. You can get down to those kind of targeting of those audiences, and which, you know, is an interesting dilemma for advertisers, how much targeting we're going to see in the future in this medium. Because the more targeted you get, the fewer the numbers that you have. So, but there has been some research that's come out here recently, actually, from the Nielsen folks that have shown that you don't really have to target podcasting to get great results. Running ads, there are certain genres that weight more heavily towards certain types of product categories. But generally, you run an ad in a podcast for basically any product, and you're going to get an ROI out of it, is what the research is showing.
Which of those two niches is more valuable, Rob? Vegan urban moms or farmers in the Midwest? I don't know. The farmers, I think farming vegan, is dying, right?
I would say vegan urban moms probably have higher disposable incomes than farmers in the Midwest.
Mm,
probably.
I think so too.
Likely. Because of the commoditization of produce. Right?
And see, I would think, farmers could definitely be listening to podcasts and still be productive. But I don't know about those vegan urban moms.
Well, I'm sure that they're listening to the podcast as they're driving their big tractors, their air-conditioned cabs in their big tractors, and they're harvesting their wheat. They have stereo systems in those things, you know.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
But but how many of those farmers have the air-conditioned cabs? Come on, Rob. We're going back to that 78% of farmers have that disposable income.
Well, I'm
going to guess that that those farmers in the Midwest are underneath that. They're in the 25% making 75K or less.
Oh, you think so? Okay.
Well, that's just me being political. I'm sorry. I'm off my soapbox now. They should be paid. They feed
much more. Much more. It's kind of like teachers, right? Farmers and teachers should be paid the most, right? Because they provide food and education.
That's right. And podcasters should be paid more.
That's right, because we provide entertainment and education.
That's right. Exactly. We're on the same level of farmers and teachers.
That's right. We deserve to make so we just deserve what everybody else gets. We deserve at least what the listener gets, right?
I can pretend I'm a millennial. We need more.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Jay, time is running out on us, man. This show is the show is clipping along. The last big part that we want to talk about is some podcasting terms. And we could spend an hour talking about these things, but which I don't think we have an hour to talk about them. And then the last part of the show, we're going to talk about some listener comments that came in too. But let's just kind of run through these terms. Some of them we talk about all the time. So we got pre-roll, mid-roll, post-rolls. I think most people that are listening to this podcast probably know about those. A pre-roll is obviously something that airs at the beginning of the show. Mid-roll is kind of like somewhere in the middle, and post-rolls are wrapped up at the end, and generally nobody cares about post-rolls. So, but they're there, They're available. Post rolls can easily be turned into pre-rolls too. Did you know that, Jay?
No, I didn't.
Because they come at the end. They come in between the beginning of a next episode.
Oh, I see what you're doing.
So you could conceivably have a pre-roll and a post-roll played as pre-rolls.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Are they really a post-roll, or is it an early or very early pre-roll? So I know I'm totally losing people at this point.
My mind has just completely been blown, Rob. You've totally destroyed my entire concept of time and space.
I've totally destroyed my credibility too. So, then the next one is offer code, promo code. Actually, I have offer code in there twice, so I'm not quite sure why I did that. But so offer codes and promo codes are those little short acronyms that people, or phrases or words that people use in forms if they want to get like a 10% off of a product. A lot of podcasts that do host reads will, you know, have a promo code that you can enter in on a sponsor's website to get their deal, right?
Just go to Spreaker.com, enter SLS at the promo code, and you'll get absolutely nothing because this is not net. But that was an example of what you would hear.
It's actually a really good idea, Jay. Maybe we should have a promo code SLS.
Oh, you're welcome. That's
like a free month off your first month of a Spreaker plan or something like that.
We could probably
do something like that.
Francesco's taking away all your bonuses for his guest.
No, that'd be horrible, wouldn't it? Yeah, I don't need those bonuses anyway. So,
no, we just demanded more money, Rob. What are you doing?
That's right. And then podcatcher is another term. So podcatcher is equal to a podcast app.
The most popular one is called Apple Podcasts, formerly known as iTunes.
Formerly known as iTunes, yes. Yes, yeah. Thank goodness for small favors. download and progressive download plays. So those are two words that are synonymous with each other, but are different. Mm. Right? Slightly different. Yes. A download is a progressive download play. Usually it can either be downloaded and stored, or it can be downloaded and played at the same time.
Mm.
I know. Talk about blowing your mind.
Yes.
Yes.
That gets way into the weeds for sure.
Yes. Well, a progressive download play could be construed to be a listen or a play or a stream.
Right. It is oftentimes called a stream, but I know to be factually accurate, it is not a stream.
Streams don't get stored on any device. Streams come in, they trickle in like a little drop out of a faucet, and then they fall into the drain in the sink and they disappear.
Oh,
that's basically what a stream is. A download is you basically download it, and at the end of the download, there's something sitting there, a pile of something sitting there.
It's kind pile of what of ones a dog and zeros. Does.
It's kind of like what a dog does or a cat.
Wow.
Okay. See, sorry. I shouldn't
interesting,
do this.
That was an interesting metaphor that you went with. Yeah, you're supposed to be the straight man, Rob.
I can't help it. So so anyway, moving on, there's another term out there called TTSL, and we love acronyms. Give me more.
Mm.
It means total time spent listening. And this is what Apple recently added to their portfolio, though they didn't call it this. They just called it, you know, whatever they called it. I can't remember what they called it. But it's basically how far into a content did a listener listen, right? Total time spent listening. So that's usually an average, right, is what TTSL is. It's an average of, you know, the median is 32 minutes and 26 seconds. that a listener listened to this show. What Apple was doing is trying to give you the whole spectrum. They're trying to get off little drop-off points, right? And what's the percentage of people that are listening at any certain point in the listening experience? So anyway,
right.
little distinction there. And then listen and plays. Jay, you and I talked a lot about this too. These are two terms that have not been clearly delineated in the industry or understood or defined, actually. I think we're getting closer. The IAB, which is the Interactive Advertising Bureau, has a podcast working group and an digital audio group as well that are, I think, helping to define these things and draw some more clarity. I think when Apple opened the door to, you know, tracking playback, I think we're going to get closer to being able to have listen and play data that's accurate.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, it's getting there. Both Block Talk Radio and Spreaker kind of have the phenomenon of plays because we do that. We offer that off of plays that happen off of our platforms. So we can actually track that at a much deeper level. When it goes into external platforms like iTunes or Apple's podcast area, there's less data there for us to be able to draw a strong conclusion on that. And then the next term here is abandonment rate. Jay, why don't you clarify what that is?
Sure. So this is something that we track on Blog Talk Radio from people that are progressively downloading your podcast. But it is the percentage of people that leave your podcast before 2 minutes has expired. And that is from the time that your first sound begins that is not an advertisement. So if you have a show produced open or the tease that you start with at the beginning of the show, as soon as your show begins, from that point to 2 minutes, we are calculating how many people are then leaving the podcast before that 2 minutes expires.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. That's a complicated explanation, and it's a complicated concept, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yes.
It mainly goes, if you had, let's say, we would all love to believe that we have a 0% abandonment rate, but that I have never seen anyone with a 0% abandonment rate. But it's more towards if you had 100% abandonment, which I have also never seen, you would know that no one is actually listening to your podcast. That's what 100% abandonment would mean.
Yeah, that means that everybody just... you know, headed for the exits.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Or so they never got there to begin with. Yeah.
Right. You might want to try and do something else if you had a 100% right. abandonment.
That's right. And the next term here is a host. And that's kind of a mixed term in the podcasting space. A host can be lots of things, right? It can be the host of your media file. It can be a host like us talking into a microphone. But a host is like Spreaker or Blog Talk Radio or any of the other players out there, you know, Libsyn and that kind of stuff. So I don't need to spend a lot of time on that one. Baked in, live reads, host reads. So those are the three most common terms to describe a host doing a host endorsement, which is another term. There's lots of terms for that, Jay.
There really are. It's funny how you stumbled across it as you're doing the definition.
There's another term.
I forgot to put to this list. Right.
I can think of another one. I can think of another one, a personality read.
Oh, that's a good one. I think the most common term out of these is live reads. I think most people refer to them as a live read. I prefer to call them a host read because...
Well, that comes out of radio. Exactly.
Right. Live read comes out of radio. But since podcasting is never technically live, quote unquote, it's all, you know, it's already been done. A host read is more accurate to what is actually going on. The host is reading an ad and delivering you the ad in the content of their show. Baked in means that it's not going to go anywhere. That ad will live in the podcast forever and ever and ever until the internet doesn't exist anymore.
So baked in kind of brings to mind an analogy for me. It's like the chocolate chips in a cookie, you know.
Oh, I knew you were going to go there too. How dare you? I already admitted I was on a diet and you bring up chocolate chip cookies. Come on, Rob.
That's right. They're baked in, you know. What can I say? Yeah, I agree that the whole live read thing is comes out of radio. So, yes. And that's, I agree that that's the most common term, but most people in the podcasting space use the two terms, host reads, and people use the term baked in, I would say. Yeah, it's a good term to use too. It doesn't describe what it is. It describes where it's at. It's baked in.
Right. As opposed to dynamic insertion, which is not baked.
No, it's the opposite of baked in. It's actually just temporarily in. Right?
And
it's like being able to put your chocolate chip cookies in the cookie and then just only eating the chocolate chip cookie or the chocolate chip. You know. And yes, then putting a different chocolate chip in there.
Right. Yes. That's yes. You've made it a complicated metaphor, but yes, that's exactly.
It could be a butterscotch chip you could put in there if you ate the chocolate chip.
The beauty of dynamic insertion is that it is the definition of what is happening to the advertisement, not a description of the advertisement. So the advertisement could be a pre-recorded ad, and they typically are. That you would hear on the radio or on TV, the ads that we joke that you skip at the beginning of YouTube videos. How dare you? But they could also be host read. So the host could pre-record their read for the advertisement and then dynamically put it into their show and then have it removed when the campaign comes to an end.
Yeah. There you go. I'm done.
Boom.
Yeah.
Good.
That's good. And then the next term here is a little convoluted. It's dynamically served impressions. Why is that important to even talk about?
Well, because your impressions could actually be higher than your total number of listens, Rob, because...
Are you implying that my ad and my content didn't get listened to? Is that what you're implying?
Yeah. No, what I'm actually implying is that your ads from many, many months ago or that were inserted on content from many, many months ago were heard more times than your newest content. That's what I was.
Oh, that's what that means.
Yes. So a dynamically served impression is the measurement of the times that your ad was actually heard. The other reason why it's important is because if somebody is progressively downloading your podcast, there's a very good chance they listened to that pre-roll ad at the beginning of your podcast, but they may not have made it to the post-roll ad on your podcast. Mm. So that particular ad does not get counted as an impression because it was never delivered to the listener.
But was it delivered if it was downloaded?
If it was downloaded, it was probably delivered. And I believe the IAB has set up guidelines on how that is properly accounted for.
But was it ever listened to is the question, right?
Don't bring in those types of questions here, Bob. Don't
to... We I know. I'm just a troublemaker. Keep me off the microphone. I'm just a troublemaker.
We don't need to raise the red flags on that.
Okay. All right. Yeah. That's just one of those things that we have to work through, right?
Right.
Okay. What's a CPM, Jay?
That is the cost per thousand listens. It actually... M stands for meal, which is French for thousand.
Ah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what's a CPA?
That is the, well, I don't
remember. No, that's my accountant. That's what that is.
These are usually done with affiliate type programs. So you're not paid for the total number of impressions your ad made to your audience, but only for the conversions. How many of your listeners actually purchased the product? So this is from, this is usually where those offer codes that we talked about earlier come in handy.
So if I had an advertiser that was selling, let's say, a medical X-ray scanner that sells for $200,000, that if I got 1% of that, I'd be doing pretty good.
Yeah, you would be.
So I want to get a couple of advertisers that are advertising high-end products, like cars or something like that, and then I can get a higher commission, right?
Does your audience is your audience interested in those high-end medical pieces of equipment?
If I was doing a podcast that was targeting, you know, doctors or something like that, I might be able to get in a deal with a medical supply company and get a cost per acquisition deal and get a little share of the revenue there. Right.
Ram, how much knowledge do you have in the medical space? Because I happen to know a couple of guys that could introduce you to a hosting company.
A couple of guys. Okay. And try and pull that kind of deal together, huh?
Yeah, I think I know a couple of guys that do that sort of thing for a living. I don't know.
I could do a podcast about spaceships, you know. Maybe get a deal with Elon Musk with SpaceX. Maybe we could sell a couple of spaceships.
Yeah, didn't I just see a headline that nobody won the Google race to the moon? So $30 million gone. Nobody gets it.
Oh, darn. And then what's an RSS feed, Jay? I think that's probably one of the most important terms that we need to define clearly. What do you think?
Don't ask me. I don't know anything about RSS feeds. You're much more knowledgeable about RSS feeds.
So basically a RSS feed, and every podcaster has to have one of these, else they can't call themselves a podcaster. I know some people have felt like they can call themselves a podcaster if they don't have one of these, and their credibility is questioned. So a RSS feed is a host server, that's, you know, like a computer server, that generates a XML document that's actually a URL that contains text metadata, images, and episode lists that includes the media URL, like to the MP3 files, and episode level metadata, text and descriptions and titles and stuff like that. Dates published. And that's what iTunes or Apple Podcasts gets from you to make all your episodes available.
If you're utilizing a hosting service.
A hosting service like Block Talk Radio or Spreaker. Yeah.
Right. They will provide you the RSS feed.
That's right.
But if you're one of those ambitious millennials, you might want to try and create your own RSS feed. It's certainly something you could do.
I mean, you could hand edit
I just don't know
that.
How ambitious you are.
Yeah. I mean, you could hand edit that XML if you wanted to.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
I used to, that's how I got started with podcasting. My RSS feed was hand edited because Spreakers didn't exist when I started.
Listen, like I said, it sounds like a lot of fun. Sounds like those hosting companies were invented for a reason.
Yes, they were. Yes. to keep my RSS feed working. Because it would have errant characters in there that would break it. And it wouldn't work. So I had to go in and debug it on a regular basis. So, which that's not a good thing for a human to have to do.
No.
And then what's a web player or a widget player? Jay, I'm confident you know what this is.
Yeah, well, this is, this is where you find Spider-Man. And he plays games with you like tic-tac-toe. No. A web player is... the little code that you put on your website that gives your listeners the opportunity to listen to your podcast right there on your website or your social media channels. Where else can you put a web player? I guess those are pretty much it. You don't have to put it on your website. It could be on somebody else's website.
Well, it also
but it's the,
gets shared to like Twitter and Facebook too. Twitter mainly will display a web player.
Right. Facebook recently changed their rules. So you don't see a lot of web players unless they're Facebook on Facebook.
Well, Jay, that's all the terms that we know of. At this point, anyway, if you know of some other terms, please let us know, and we'll be sure to cover it in the next episode. So,
or if there's a term you want us to define, we'll
or just
give it a shot.
If you just want to create one out of thin air, that'd be okay too.
Sure,
you know, have some fun with it. You know, send us what new acronym you'd like to have out there in the podcasting space. There's podfasters now, which is another term, which is those that listen to podcasts at a much higher rate of speed. And there's podfaders. Those are the ones, and that's not to be confused with podbater.
Right.
Podfader with an F is those that fade away from podcasting. They get started and then they stop producing episodes. So, Jay, what does a podvader do?
He comes on the SLS podcast and makes bad jokes.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, but you're supposed to be a dark, evil Sith Lord.
Right. Yes.
I've never known a dark, evil Sith Lord to be a stand-up comedian. It's pretty dark humor, right? Typically.
See? That's why you're the straight man, Rob, because when you drop a line like that, it just hits them. It's the
bam.
It's the jab hook, you know? You got them.
Bam. That's right. Okay.
Well done.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. We should move on. We got some listener comments from last week's show. Eileen wrote us, thanks so much for covering the topic that we covered last week. What was the topic we covered last week, Jay? I think it was
splitting your RSS feed.
Splitting your RSS feed. That's right. The fact that we can disable our RSS feed on Spreaker is huge. Huge. I guess she imported one of her anchor feeds. Ooh, that's a dirty word. No. Anchor feeds here. And recommending it to others on Anchor to do the same. So you can add your show to Spreaker, and then you can go in and disable the secondary RSS feed that will automatically be generated. You can turn it off, so you don't have the risk of having duplicate RSS feeds out there in the market, which can happen. And it's easy to turn it off. Now you can have a gorgeous Spreaker player with a custom image and layout that you can embed in your blog post. That sounds great, doesn't it, Jay? Eileen, thanks.
It does sound great. But Rob, I think Eileen should reach out. Does she not realize that you can do what she's doing on Anchor by just being on Spreaker? She doesn't need the Anchor portion of this chain of events?
That's a good point. That's a good point. But, you know... If she has an account on Spreaker too, that's okay. You know,
sure,
we can spread it around. You know, she can be on lots of different platforms if she chooses to. But
that is true.
As long as you keep your RSS feed under control and you have a clear understanding of what you're doing, and you don't mess things up like what we talked about last week on the show.
Exactly.
Yes. Gail Nobles also sent us quite a few comments here. She writes here, iHeartRadio appears to be joining the podcasting space, but radio is mainly music, and podcasting is more within itself. I'm not quite sure what you meant by that, Gail, but I think I follow what we're saying. Podcasting is kind of podcasting. It's not so much connected with radio. Online there is change. So yeah. So online radio, online content is going to change. Radio and podcasting is starting to look like one together to me. So she writes, people just want them to stay different. Our radio is able to bring us the best hit music where podcasting cannot. I would say that's true.
That is very true.
Yep. That is a strength that radio will hold on to for their future is live events to some degree and news, weather, and music, I think, are the few areas that they will maintain their presence.
Well, see, I would agree with music and probably to a degree weather, but I think news is one that's slowly getting chipped away, Rob. I think we're seeing an explosion in news.
Well,
type
local
podcast.
News maybe for some period of time until podcasting is able to be a little stronger in local markets.
Right.
Yeah. And let's see here. She writes, what's going to happen when podcasting starts looking like video and TV? What change will that bring? So interesting. When podcasting,
do we think podcasting will look like it? I don't think podcasting will look like video or TV. We're an audio platform. We can't look like anything.
Well, somebody will invent visual audio, you know. Or is that audio
and
visual?
The person who invents that is going to be a very wealthy person.
Yeah,
well, maybe that's the innovation that I didn't know about before. Oh, man, Rob, that's why you get paid the big bucks.
It's called audiovisual. That's what they call it. Mm-hmm. It's called AV.
Right. I thought that was just the geeks in the library at high school.
Yeah. Let's see here. You don't have to worry about AM and FM, do you? Online is going to dominate. So people are going to just, you know, stop listening to AM and FM. Actually, there are some countries, I think it was Norway, that decided that they were going to just kill off all their radio frequencies.
To me, it makes sense. I think ultimately having everything traveling on the digital landscape cleans up a lot of that extra noise in the transmission field. I mean, I don't think AM and FM is going to go away forever. I think there'll still be some use for the AM and FM bands, but I do think there's a large move towards the digital space. It's just a cleaner, cheaper way to deliver entertainment to the people.
Yeah. Yeah. She also mentioned TuneIn. She says, I did have a problem trying to submit my podcast to different categories in TuneIn, which is another listening platform out there that's pretty good size.
A podcatcher, I believe we defined it as.
Yes, yes. And I believe TuneIn is going to create a better submission system that they have. Right now, it's being done via email. And you have to cut and paste your artwork and your show description and all that kind of stuff. So they need to have something that's a little more automated. I've been talking to them about that. So hopefully we can get on a better connection with folks like TuneIn. So out there to get your podcast distributed automatically. And that's kind of my goal, Jay, is to kind of help podcasters automate this stuff a little bit more, so it's a little less confusing to get your show into all the big platforms.
That is a lofty goal, my friend, and I will be there to help you with it.
Well, thank you, sir, so much.
Well, I think that's both of our goals, right? I think those are our marching orders. That's directly on the contracts that we didn't sign.
That's right. those long contracts that don't exist.
Right.
Well, Jay, I think we're going to wrap it up. I think we've again done the world's longest Spreaker Live show.
Yes, so, I will continue to break the record.
Yes, yes, we've basically worn our audience out. So I think we need to. I'm sure we're like at zero and at this point of audience, people have just left us entirely at this point.
So. Mm.
Yeah.
Well, we could find out if we had a funky offer code. We could put one in here. We could put like a Twitter hashtag. Hashtag SLS if you made it this far.
Yeah, you could do that, or just, you know, let us know in the comments area at SpreakerLiveShow.com that you heard us proclaim that we felt that nobody was listening. So
right. Yeah. Make us feel good. Feed our egos.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Well, Jay, thank you so much for joining me on this long-winded episode.
My pleasure.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to the Spreaker Live Show today. It's been great to have you with us. Hope you come back and check out the rejoining of Alex to the podcast next week and see what's going on with him. So, and then Jay will be following up, I'm sure, on a subsequent episode at some point. So thanks, Jay.
Yes, maybe. You never know. This is not the podcast host you're looking for.
Yes, yes. Well, thank you, and have a terrific rest of your week. And thanks for listening to the Spreaker Live Show at SpreakerLiveShow.com.